Everybody knows our brother. We know a little bit about the battles, but he's going to be able to explain some of the other things in his teaching and his testimony today. And so we're so happy, definitely happy. And I know you're happy to be here, and so we're happy to have you here. Amen. So I'm going to let you take it.
Thank you, my brother. Amen. I am very happy to be here and enjoy the good worship. That was great worship this morning. Give the praise team a nice big clap as well. Come on. Where was Jeremiah? Is he here? Did he write the one song? That is very good. That is a very good song. And I was, it's funny how Yahweh works. When he was playing the song, I said, I don't know this song. And then I just got this knowing inside of me. I'm sure either he must have wrote it or somebody. And then Kay said he wrote the song. I thought, man, isn't that incredible? That's good to hear that. Well, I am going to give you a bit of my testimony this morning, and I just want to thank every one of you and the church and Pastor Mark and Tammy for praying for me. Some of you don't know what happens. Some of you might know what happened, but I will talk to you. But before we get there, let's just turn to the Word of God in the book of Micah. And you know there is such a book as Micah. Am I right? All right. Just want to make sure. It's on page. That's all right. Most of you don't know where Micah is because you most probably haven't even got there before. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you this morning that you will anoint my lips, that you will anoint me as I bring the word, that the word cut right into our spirit man, that we will be filled up with the word, and that this word is the truth. It will set us free. Thank you that the Holy Spirit will help me to preach through you, Holy Spirit, and not from my flesh. And that every word that is spoken this morning, the people will accept and understand. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I ask you. Amen. Micah was a very, vibrant little prophet. He wasn't like Isaiah or Jeremiah that you hear a lot about, but you're going to read about the guy. He was very, very, very upset with the people because of their sins. And if I'm not mistaken, in chapter 1, verse 8, round about there, the guy almost went naked to show the people that he was very serious about them repenting and confessing. This guy had a burden for the sins of the nation. And in chapter 7, I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I just want to tell you, he starts off with, woe is me. And then he starts talking about the economy of the country, how the food is not what it should be. Then he goes into the financial side, which is not doing good. Then in verse 2 and the end, he talks about unfaithful people. Then in verse 3, he says they do is do evil and they're cheating. And then in verse 4, he says people are bitter towards each other. They're hurting each other. In verse 5, he talks about friends that you can't even put your confidence anymore, and they cannot be companions with you. And the guard of the doors of their mouths, man, they just gossip and criticize people all over the place. And then in verse 6, he's talking about the family, that sons dishonor fathers and daughters rise up against mothers, daughter-in-laws, mother-in-laws. And I'm thinking, man, this sounds like today. This is like a 21st century. Everything's just haywire. Everything's just going wild. But Micah, in verse 7, becomes very, very, very bold. As he says in verse 7, basically what I get out of the whole chapter here is everything that's gone wrong and everything that is going wrong. And I know some of you are sitting here this morning thinking, where's this world going to end? When is the Green Deal going to come in and all the other nonsense that they're talking about and the world's going to stop because of this? And these guys just don't even know that God is in control, man. I mean, you know, they're just missing the whole point. But he comes and he says, over and above all these things that are going wrong, guess what? In verse 7, therefore, I will look to Yahweh. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And then he becomes even more bolder. He said, guess what, guys? My God will hear me. And I thought, man, this guy's got so much guts, saying all of this. And then he becomes even more bold, right? Because he's putting his finger out to the enemy saying, don't you rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise up. He's not saying if he falls. He says when I fall, because we're going to fall sometimes. If it's sickness or if it's finances or marriage or job or children or whatever the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we can fall. But listen, it's like a boxing match. That guy might hit you with a left hook when you're not looking, and down you go. But if you can just get up by the count of eight, the fight goes on. They're not going to count you out. And as long as you can get up, he says, when I fall, I will rise up. The righteous will fall seven times, but they're going to be picked up by Yahweh. And then he says, listen to this. He says, the Lord, Yahweh, he will be my light after I've sat in darkness. And there's some people that in this world right now, in this church this morning, it feels like it's the end. You see, when you feel like you're sitting in darkness, you don't see the light anymore. But let me give you some good news. Yahweh is our light. That's what Yeshua said. He said, I've come to be the light in this world. And that light is in you and in me. If you are saved this morning, if you are a born-again child of God, you have Yeshua in you. And you are the light of this world. Wherever you go, darkness has got to flee. Darkness cannot stand where you and I walk in. That's why it's so important for you and I to keep our eyes on Yahweh, on Elohim. We got to keep on looking. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at what's going wrong. Yeah, it's there. And you got to just say, okay, this is what's wrong. But don't keep on focusing on what Satan's doing. Keep your eyes on Yeshua and what he has already done for us 2,000 years ago. You cannot look at what Satan's doing. Look at what Yeshua has already done for you. And I had to use this scripture for almost a year, for about 8-9 months. I had to quote this thing over and over and over. I had to say, I cannot look what's going on. I cannot look what's happening. I've got to look up. I've got to look to my Lord. I've got to look to Yahweh. It's just Yeshua. I cannot, there's nothing else I can do. Because I'm waiting for the Lord of my salvation. That word salvation means our healing. It means our rescue. It means our deliverance. Come on. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the meaning of the word means it, wholeness, completeness. Everything that Yeshua died for. That is what it is. And if we can just wait. Sometimes, you know, I just realize this. We as Christians, when we come out here and we ask in the name of Yeshua to be healed and it doesn't go away immediately, then the evangelist doesn't have the anointing, or Pastor Mark is not doing the good today, you know. We just want it right here immediately. But listen, sometimes there's a time that we got to go through this thing, all right? Sometimes we got to go through stuff to get to stuff. And while we're going through this stuff, come on, we've been singing it today, this morning as well. Sometimes we go through those things and we are taught, man, we are getting mature. We are getting into the Word and our faith is being lifted up. And isn't it funny that last year or the year before I preached about mustard seed faith? Oh my goodness. I said, thank you, Lord, that you wrote the book for me. That I have to go and apply mustard seed faith. I'm telling you, every fear, every worry, all the anger that I went through. I was so angry when I was diagnosed with cancer. When I was here last year, I didn't even know it. I had the knot in my neck. Some of you might have seen them at that, but it was about the size of my little front of my finger. And I didn't care about what it was. And they gave me some antibiotics here at the hospital where I went to the ER and said, well, listen, what is it? Dr. Schultz, actually, the chiropractor, said, just go and let them just give you something. So I went and got some antibiotics, and it didn't go away. So they said, you've got to go to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And I couldn't go until April because our insurance that we have, we were in North Carolina, and they didn't take our insurance. It's just good in Texas. So when I got back in Texas, the guy looked at it, and he said, well, let's do a sonar, and we can see what it is, and then that will tell us exactly what is wrong. And we were still on our way to California. We were flying there on the Friday morning, and the Thursday afternoon we were driving to Dallas to go sleep in the motels because we had to be in Dallas the morning at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. The doctor just by accident calls and says, listen, you got cancer. I mean, that just knocked the wind out of my lungs. Like, I mean, I went down for a count right there, and I stayed there for 2-3 days. I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. I am a faith preacher. I have faith, a lot of faith. But I mean, that word took everything out of me. It put me flat on the ground. And the first thing that I said is, what did I do wrong? Is it something that I did wrong? And for 3 days, my mind was so blocked that I didn't pray. I didn't speak one scripture. I didn't open the Bible. Come on. I tell you guys, listen, when they tell you you got cancer, open your mouth and say, no, in the name of Yeshua, I refuse to have cancer. For 3 days, I was like a zombie. I said to my wife, I pray for a lot of people with cancer. And I said to her, the next time I pray for somebody with cancer, Mark, the first thing I'm going to pray for is your mind. Because your mind will kill you before that cancer kills you. That thing put me down on that ground so hard, and I don't know why. And my wife said, why aren't you quoting scripture? And I just looked at her. I didn't even answer her. I couldn't get it out of my mouth. The God of this world was blinding my mind, man. He was just blocking me in every area. Well, thank heavens. Well, I had to preach Sunday morning in California. And when I got there Sunday morning, I hadn't opened my Bible since Wednesday. I didn't know where my notes was. I couldn't find my sermon. I must have forgot it somewhere. All the notes were gone. Everything was gone. I just remembered the scripture that I was going to preach on. So I just read the scripture. But before that, I went to the room behind while they were doing praise and worship. And I cried out to Yahweh. I said, you got to help me. Because I'm blocked up here. Why can I not quote a scripture? Why am I not calling out of you? God, help me. And when I was behind that stage, I got that out of my mouth. I said, Yahweh, just help me. And the word says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you, it was like a light switch that went on, Tammy. And out of my mouth just started coming scriptures. And the old Hansi was back. Within a second, the old Hansi was back. And then I had to repent. And then I started crying like a baby. And then I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I cut you out for 3 days. But you know what? I'm glad that happened to me. Because now I know what some of you guys feel like. I'm a preacher. I'm in the Word the whole time. I'm teaching you to do it, and I couldn't do it myself. So now I know how hard it is for you when you hear the big C word. Remember, they call it the big C, you know, the cancer. I said, let's just stop right here. I'm not going to call it the big C anymore. The big C is the cross. And the cross is far more powerful than cancer. And I reversed that Sunday morning when it was reversed around. And we had such a great revival there. And those guys prayed for me when they saw it. Because by the second night, I sang a song, one of our own songs. And when I sang it, I just started bawling because the words that I had written 10 years ago for a song came right back into my face. And I just started crying. I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I told the church what was going on, and they prayed for me. And that's before I let everybody know, because the doctor, ear, nose, and throat specialist said, well, the cancer that you got is treatable if we handle it quickly, if we can get hold of it. So when you come back in 10 days, we're going to do a PET scan, see where the cancer is, and then we'll zap it with radiation. I said, I don't want radiation. I don't want chemo. God's going to heal me. Yeah. It doesn't matter. The fact that I said it, just I was applying my faith. All right. So I kept on saying from the beginning, I don't want radiation. I don't want chemo. Yahweh is going to heal me. Yeshua died on that cross. I'm going to be healed. So I said to the guy, all right, how long do I have to live? What's going on? He said, no. If we can just get this knot out, we can shoot it. And the kind of cancer it is, it comes behind your tongue. And they say if they can just see the spot where the cancer is, zap it with the radiation, and you don't even need. Or they can just cut it out, then you don't need radiation or chemo. I said, great, let's go for the PET scan. So we started praying. When they do the PET scan, they will not find the cancer. So guess what? So they don't find the cancer when we go for the PET scan behind my tongue. So the doctor said, but it's impossible because did you know that there are 25 different kinds of breast cancer and 25 different kinds of treatment for breast cancer for women? I found that out when I was in the 7 week doing cancer treatments. I spoke to a lot of ladies, a lot of guys. There's more than one prostate cancer. I never knew that. So he said to me, they can now just by a biopsy and just doing a normal biopsy tell you what kind of cancer you have and how serious it is. And the one that I had comes behind the tongue or on your tonsils. It doesn't show up anywhere else. That's where it's supposed to be. So I said, well, they will not find it. They will not find it. So when they did the biopsy or the PET scan, they couldn't find it. Well, let's do a biopsy and find out where it is. So they did two biopsies behind my tongue and on my tonsils to find out where the cancer is. They couldn't find where it was. I believe that I was healed, but that was not a good report for them because this baffled them that they couldn't find it. What the cancer behind the tongue does, it spreads to your lymph nodes, and the lymph nodes are supposed to get rid of all the nonsense in your body, but because of cancer, it clogs up in your lymph nodes, so that it went right into my lymph nodes, and it got stuck there. So the doctor said, okay, we cannot find it, so we got to send you to an oncologist so they can have a look at you and see what treatment they got to do to you. Man, I was praying. I was speaking life. Now I'm out of the blockage here, okay? Now I'm speaking that mustard seed faith. And just when I'm on top of it, then that fear comes. Then that anger comes. Anger for what? Anger for the devil. I told him in his face, where do you get the right to attack my body as a temple of God? And I told him exactly where he could go and what the blood has done and where he's going to end up and where I'm going to end up. But that, then the fear comes, then the anger comes. I was never angry with God. I was always angry with the situation. But then I'll see some people that are drugging and drinking and smoking and getting drunk, and they never get cancer. So then I get mad at them. Why don't they get cancer, and why do I get cancer? And I'm exercising, and I'm eating right, and I'm a preacher. Everything just goes through your mind. It's haywire. Those of you that have been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Not just only cancer, whatever sickness you have, whatever. I mean, if you hear the first time your wife just comes and says, here's a divorce paper, don't tell me you're going to say, oh, that's great, fine, thanks, have a good life. No, everything's going to go, what about my kids? What about my money? What about my house? Man, when the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he hits your mind. But thank heavens Yeshua said, hey, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life in abundance. And I had to hold on to that. So there I am. So they said, okay, let's go to the oncologist. So I said to my wife, I'm not going to take that treatment. I'm not going to take that treatment. I had to go Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. Monday afternoon, 6 o'clock, this oncologist calls me, Mr. Stein. I don't want to see you tomorrow. I said, why? He said, because I don't want to do this treatment on you. I don't want to do the chemo and the radiation on you. It's too bad. I said, what do you mean it's too bad? He said, this is the worst radiation treatment that you can find, is your head, neck, and throat. If it's a prostate, they just go and zap the prostate. If it's your breast, they just zap your breast. But this radiation affects everything. He says, and people that go through the head, neck, and throat radiation, this is what can happen to them. They can lose their hearing. They can lose their taste buds. They will have no more saliva. Their thyroid will pack up. I said, okay. He says, you can lose your teeth. I said, okay. He said, well, before this happens, I want to send you to a surgeon. Let him cut this out and let him go behind your tongue and find that cancer and cut it out. Because then maybe I don't even have to do the radiation and the chemo. I said, yeah, that's what I've been trusting the Lord for. That's what I've been trusting Yahweh for. Come on. So there I go. But now I'm fed up already. Hey, this is about 2, 3, 4 weeks after I heard that I got the cancer. So now I'm fed up with this whole thing and I cannot minister. I had to stop ministering because I got to be at these doctors all the time. And I'm not against doctors. I'm not against nurses. They're beautiful Christian doctors that come to church, Christian nurses, and we know them. But I'm not going to put my faith in the doctor, and I'm not going to put my faith in the nurse. I'm going to put my faith in Yahweh that he will use the doctor, and he will use the nurse, and he will use the medicines. I'm going to take my faith. I'm going to mix it with them. And say, Lord, if you want to use a treatment, then I'm going to trust you that you're going to heal me. You either heal me without it or you heal me with it. But I want to be healed. So now I'm driving to Dallas. Man, takes me 2.5 hours from Tyler to Dallas. I'm fed up with the traffic. Those Dallas people drive like, I don't know, just bad. And in the town. And there's wrecks. So I get there and there's this, I've got to drive. Park in this hospital parking. So I can't find a parking with that big Chevrolet dually truck of mine. So I'm even mad again. I'm telling you, I went up and down, and then I'm crying, and then I'm laughing. Then I, Yahweh, Yeshua, and then I don't know what's going on, why me, what did I do wrong? And everything just goes all the time, man. And so eventually I find a parking, and yeah, I've got 5 minutes to get to this doctor, the surgeon, and now I have to go to the restroom. So I walk in there, there's the elevators, and there's a restroom right next to the elevators. I said, thank you. And as I walk in there, they're busy cleaning it. This, I don't know about you, but I've got that. That's just something happens to me. If I want to go to the restroom, they're always cleaning it. Walmart, in the mall, you can just, they're always busy cleaning the thing. So I said to the guy, where's the other, is there another restroom? Yes, they're right down there. It's about almost 50 feet. So I've got to run down there because I've got to go. I've been in the car for 2.5 hours. So I run there, do what I have to do, come out, wash my hands, and there's a young guy standing next to me, and he's just putting on his cap. He says, sir, do you know if there's a prayer room in the hospital? I said, no, sir, I've just been here myself. I just got here. I don't even know. I'm not very friendly as a Christian. I'm telling you, I'm honest. I'm going to be transparent with you. I said, no, sir, I don't know if there's a prayer room, and yeah, but why? Why do you want a prayer room? Do you want prayer? He said, no, I'm okay. I don't need prayer. I said, okay. So I'm washing my hands. And that small little voice says, you're just going to leave him? I said, gee, God, I've got 2 minutes left. He says, okay. That conviction. I said, young man, what's wrong? Can I pray for you? That guy turned around and the biggest smile I've ever seen. He said, yes, sir. He said, I just heard the most devastating news a few minutes ago. And that's a cancer hospital, so it must have been something with cancer. I mean, it's not a spine hospital or a heart hospital. It's a cancer hospital. I didn't even ask him what was wrong. People were coming in and out the restroom. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes, please, you can pray for me. I said, I'm a minister. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. And I prayed for that guy out loud in that restroom while people were coming in, and some of them were looking at me. And they were just doing whatever they had to do. And I prayed. I said, and God said to me, hey, listen to me. You received the bad news of cancer, but I'm with you in this whole thing, every single step. And I realized, oh my goodness, man, God sent me there for a specific reason. He even let the restroom be clean when it shouldn't be clean, just to get to this guy that needed prayer. So, I felt so good when I walked up there, got to the doctor, Christian doctor, surgeon. So, he told me what we do is it's going to be about an hour and a half, 2 hours surgery. We take out these lymph nodes with the cancer in, and then we go behind your tongue with it, you know, and they'll do these little robotic stuff, and they'll find the cancer, and then we don't have to have chemo and radiation. Man, I'm on cloud 9. So, we get to the hospital about a week later. And they go in there, and they don't do a 2-hour surgery, but they do a 5.5-hour surgery. Because they find that there's more cancer inside than there should be. And he takes out 25 lymph nodes. and he sends them all away. 12 of them come back with cancer in. But before he closes me up, one of the lymph nodes has broken open and the cancer's growing through it. And now the cancer's around my this collarbone nerve here. So now it makes it a stage 4 and not a stage 1. So that changed the whole thing. He said, when he went in there, he said, I didn't even look behind your tongue. He said, because it's a stage 4, they're going to do radiation, they're going to do chemo. That's just one of those things. We cannot, I've taken out everything I can, but if I left one microcell behind, within 6 months, it could go to your lungs and go to your kidneys and you'll be gone. I said, okay. I wake up. I've been an anesthetic a few times and stuff, and it's difficult to get out of that. Yeah, and the nurses do this in front of you. I wake up after 5.5 hours, and he has this little nice nursey looking at me. How are you doing, Mr. Stain? I said, I'm doing good, man. She said, do you have pain? I said, no, should I have pain? She said, yes, you've been in 5.5 hours surgery. They cut me open from here right down to there. If you look closely, you'll see it, but he did a good job. She said, you're supposed to have pain. You have some hydrocodone, Opeth stuff, what they give you. I said, ma'am, I don't need those balls because I don't have pain. They gave me a whole bottle full of them. I threw them away because I never even touched them. My God heard my prayer when I said to him, I don't need no sort of that stuff. Never used one pain pill through this whole thing. Not one thing. And why am I saying this to you? I don't want to sound arrogant and prideful this morning. I want to tell you of the goodness of Elohim. I want to tell you the goodness of Yeshua. That's what he died for. And that's what I asked him to do. Please, would you just go with me and help me? And he did. So I'm looking at this young girl. She said, man, it's impossible. You've got to have pain. I said, well, I don't have pain. She said, well, all right, that's okay. Then her and I start talking, and it comes down to, boils down to the point where she finds out I'm a minister. She said, oh, would you please remember my, I hate it when they do that. Would you please remember my father in prayer? I'm not going to remember your father in prayer, man. When I leave you, I forgot about your father. Now, let's pray for your father right now. And I said, what's wrong with your father? No, he's not saved. So we start praying for her father to get saved, and she starts bawling and crying. So I said, thank you, Lord. There, you're using me right after the surgery to pray for somebody else. And I started realizing that God was using me through every step of this thing, telling me exactly what to do. So there I go. I get up. I come out of the surgery. They give me about 2-3 weeks so this thing could heal up before they do a PET scan again. And the doctor said, I want to send you back to the oncologist because you're going to have radiation chemo with this stage 4 now. So and he said, I can send you to my oncologist in Dallas, or I can send you to Tyler where you live, 2 hours away, or you're going to drive in every day 2 hours and back. No, send me to where I live. So he sends me back to the guy that sent me to him originally, the nice guy, who is also a Christian. And that told me he doesn't want to do the bad stuff to me and do all the radiation and the chemo because the side effects are too bad. He sent me back to him. I get there, and this guy, Pastor Mark, has a turnaround like you have not seen. This guy is almost like Pharaoh. His heart is hardened. And he starts telling me, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do this radiation. We're going to do this chemo. And I want you to go see a surgeon for your teeth and let him pull out the teeth that is not good teeth because you're going to lose all your teeth. And you'll be without teeth for the rest of your life. I said, what do you mean? He said, because the radiation and the chemo will mess up your jawbone, and your jawbone will be so soft that you'll lose all your teeth. I said, well, can I have false teeth or dentures or implants? He said, no, you'll never have that because the whole bone crushes up because of the radiation. I said, so I'm going to be for the rest of my life. He said, yes, you'll just have to live like that, but you're alive. He said, then you can lose your hearing. You will have sores in your mouth so much that you won't be able to swallow, so you won't be able to eat. You'll lose a lot of weight. Your thyroid will definitely pack up, but you can get pills to help yourself. It'll affect your vocal cords if you're singing. you can, you might be able to sing, but your voice will crack. You won't be hitting the high notes again, and so forth. And man, I listened to this. I thought, no, I don't want to live like this. Then I go home. I go home. I know that I'm saved. I go home to Yeshua. I'll have a good time there. But I'm not going to do this. There's no ways I'm going to go through all of this. And then he said, oh yeah, you'll have permanently, you'll have redness in your neck up to around about here. It'll be red and it'll never go away. I said, so I'll be a redneck. He said, yeah. I said, man, I go to Mississippi and I minister to the rednecks. I don't want to be a redneck. I didn't say that. He said, you'll always have this red color around your throat and everywhere. Oh, my man. I was so, the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm so upset. I said to him, is there anything else that we can do? Anything else? He said, yeah, you could go and get a second opinion if you want, but the guy will tell you exactly the same that I told you because that's how it works. I thought, okay, you don't mind? He said, no, go find a second opinion. It was actually very arrogant and very prideful to me. That's how we do it. No compassion. So I said, okay, he said, and then when you finish, just come back to me so we can do it. And he's just calling the dentist right there to come and see me. I must go see them. I actually went to the dentist. They were going to pull 5 of my teeth before they started it, and the others would be pulled afterwards. Man, I was upset. I went home. I said to Jeanette, and I called my 2 daughters. I said to them, your dad is going home, but I'm not going to do this treatment. And that's when I started sending out texts to some of you guys, to pastors, and to tell you, no, I'm not going to do this. All right, so here I am. So I called this doctor that did the surgery. I said, man, I'm mad. I want to see you now. He said, well, come. I just got in a truck. I drove. I told him the whole story. He said, man, this doesn't sound right to me. He said, what do you want to do? I said, well, send me to MD Anderson. Send me to the cancer centers. But I want another second opinion. He said, why don't you just go to the guy in Dallas, which I wanted to send you to, and just go listen to what the guy says. You don't have to use the guy, but just go see what the guy says. I said, well, I don't have 2-3 weeks to wait for this guy to get an appointment. He said, no. He picks up the phone. He calls the guy. He says, so-and-so is here. I want you to see him now. He said, send him. I just drove 10 minutes, got in immediately. And these oncologists are busy, boy. They busy, I'm telling you. So I got there, walked in there, and they could see because there were about 3 nurses in there, and he was like very, very, come to find out he's a born-again Christian as well, saved man of God. And he looks at my PET scans and everything, and he says to me, okay, we're not going to do what that guy did because what that guy did is according to the book. I'm going to go according to what his heart tells him. And I knew that was the Holy Spirit talking to him. And he said, you got 2 spots here. We have to do this side because where it broke out, we don't know if something's left. And we've got to do behind your tongue because there's a light little color. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen a PET scan. A PET scan, if there's nothing, it's all black. But now I've seen cancer there. It's like a yellow little white dot. It just shoots out like at you. And they know exactly where it is. That's why if they could find the dot, they could cut it out. But behind my tongue, it was like a banana, just like a yellowish color, light color there. He says it's got to be there because that's where this cancer originates. And for some other reason, it's not showing that it's out there. And I believe that Yeshua healed it. But he showed that guy that it's there. Because otherwise, they would not have done the treatment that they did with me. He said, we're going to hit it there and we're going to trust God for this. I said, yes, sir. He said, okay, go home, pray about it. I said, okay. He said, and then call me next week. That was Wednesday. He said, call me Monday or Tuesday and tell me what you and your wife and your children have decided. But go and pray about it. And if you want me to do it, then I'll do it. Man, I'm driving out there. Oh, my goodness. It wasn't one day. And old Satan comes. Yep. You big shot. You're the faith preacher. You kept on saying, I don't want chemo. I don't want radiation. Now you're going to do it. You wrote the book, Mustard Seed Faith. You don't even have mustard seed faith. You have no faith. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite, man. And that thing starts condemning me. And I turn around after my wife and my 2 daughters said, go do it. if that's what I had, because they wanted me to live, you know. But the whole time I know God can heal me without doing that. But do I take that chance? Yes, I have the faith. And after the condemnation from Satan, that people are going to laugh at me and say, well, you're the one that said you don't want it, and now you're doing it. Oh, I turn around, and I start saying, that's it, I'm not going to do the treatment. God's going to heal me. And I'm driving back to the RV. That was about this Saturday. And for some other reason, I just start talking to Yahweh. I just start talking to God. And I start crying. And I've never cried like that in my life. So much that I had to pull over to the side of the road because I couldn't see where I was driving. I couldn't see nothing. And excuse me for taking some sips down then. I still have a little bit of a saliva problem, which is coming back. I'm sitting next to the road, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. Some of you might disagree with me, but this is what happened to me. And I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. I was sitting in that truck of mine, and I'm just bawling out, and I'm whying again. Why God? Why this? Why this? You know, one day I said to God, why this? Why this? And he said to me, why are you whying like this? I said, because why does it happen? Why do people get sick? Why this? He said, I never told you to ask me why. God, why when I pray for Tammy does she get healed, but when I pray for Mark, he doesn't get healed? He said, I never asked you to ask me why. I told you to go lay your hands on the sick and I will heal them. I am the healer, not you. So don't you why me. But I'm whying God again there while I'm crying and I'm angry again and I'm disappointed. And the next moment, my dear brother and sister, I hear this voice. But I've never heard this voice before. This voice was so gentle, but so powerful. It went through my whole body. I was shaking. I couldn't keep my hands in my body still. It looked like I was getting a panic attack or something. It felt like every cell of my body was consumed by this voice. And I knew this was Jehovah. This was the Almighty God himself talking to me. And I realized something, and some of you might disagree. I've heard God speak to me many times. But what, you know, when you hear that small little voice speaking to you, it's the Holy Spirit that's inside of us talking to us. And watch out that you go around saying, oh, God told me. Oh, Elohim told me. When he talks to you, you will know it. And I think it's such a sacred, special thing when he speaks to you that you will know when he talks to you. I knew it. I sat there and I shaken. I couldn't keep myself straight as he spoke to me. And I cried and cried and just never stopped all the time. It wasn't a unseen voice like this. It was just a normal voice. But it had so much power. So I just knew, yes, this is Almighty God himself speaking to me. And the first thing that he said to me was, Hansi. And I said, yes, God. I'm crying, man. I cannot stop crying. He said, you know that I did not give you cancer, right? I said, yep. I can still hear that voice, that presence, so thick. I've never had it in my whole life. And he said to me, Satan wants to kill you and destroy you. And I said, yes, Lord, I know that. He says, but I'm going to heal you. Boy, and then I started crying. And then I thought, man, is this God? Or is this just me thinking this? Am I just hallucinating or what? What am I going? But then I realized, no. This is Almighty Jehovah. Elohim. He is Almighty God. He just consumed me. And I thought about the Israelites that Moses took to Mount Sinai. And when God spoke to them, they couldn't handle that. They said, it's like fire. It's like thunder. It's like lightning. And they said, Moses, you go listen. And we cannot listen to that voice. That's the kind of voice that I'm talking about. that hit me so hard. He said, I'm going to heal you. Boy, and I cried. I said, thank you. No chemo, no radiation. Thank you, Lord. I've got my answer. But that's not what happened. When I got myself back again and I'm still shaking, he said to me, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. I said, okay, Lord, what? He said, I have the right to tell you what to do. I can tell you what to do. And if you don't, then you're disobedient. He says, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go to Dallas and take the treatment. I said, oh my goodness, Lord. Why would I do that? He said, because I'm asking you to go do that. He says, if you don't want to do it, I will heal you. If you do what I'm asking you, I will also heal you. But I'm going to bless you and change your ministry and anoint you and give you more than you had now. But either way, I'm going to heal you. And if you don't want to do it, I'm not going to be angry with you. Then I'll just have to find somebody else. And that didn't make sense to me. But then I started thinking, how many people did something for God? How God told Paul to go to Rome, and look what happened to him. What happened to the disciples when God asked them to do something? What Jesus did, Yeshua, when he died on that cross so that I could be saved and be forgiven. And I had a long chat there, which I'm not going to go into detail. But here God gives me two scenarios. He says, if you don't want to go there, I will heal you. If you go there, I will also heal you, but I will also bless you. I said, why do you want me to go through that radiation and chemo if you can heal me without it? He said, because I cannot find anybody to go and minister there. I said, minister there? He said, yeah. I want you to go for those 7 weeks, and I want you to minister to people there. I am going to send people to you to pray for. You will not go and look for nobody. You will not go and ask somebody, can I pray for you? They will come to you. I will send them to you in that cancer and that radiation centers. And you will pray for them for 7 weeks long. Are you willing to do that? I'm asking you to do that for me. So, it wasn't easy. But in the end, I remember Isaiah's word, which he said when the Lord said to them, who shall we send? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me, Lord. And that's what I just said. I said, okay, God. Okay, Yahweh, if you want me to go, I'll go. But would you please help me? Because according to these side effects, I don't know if I can take it. I don't want to lose my teeth. I don't want to stop swallowing. I don't want to lose my hearing. I want to sing still. I want to be able to talk properly. I don't want to lose my thyroid. I don't want to lose my taste buds or my saliva glands. I don't want all those permanent. I don't want to be a redneck. Because I said that's one of the things that will stay permanent. That this new doctor, he said to me, all the other things will happen to you or can happen to you, but they should go away. But the redneck, you will have for the rest of your life. I'll always have a redneck. Now, you can come and look if I'm a redneck. I don't have no redneck. I didn't have a no. I think I had a bit of a brownish color, Jeanette. It went within 2 weeks. It was gone. It's like you had a suntan and the skin just peeled off. When that doctor saw me after the 7 weeks, 2 weeks later, he said to me, oh, my goodness. What did you do? I said, what? He said, you don't have a redneck. I said, I told you I'm not going to have a redneck. Hey, guys, I started off that treatment. And then that truck, I said to God, will you help me? And the Almighty God said to me, I will help you through every step if you go and do that for me. Man, I was so excited that I was going to do the treatment. I came back and told my wife, my daughters again, I'm going to do that treatment. I called the doctors. I told them what happened to me. And from that day, I cried every day because I could not get that voice out of my system. That voice was still, it's still in me. If I talk about it, I just want to bawl like a baby because I still feel that voice inside talking to me. I can still feel it. I can still hear that voice like it was 2 minutes ago. And there I go. I go, we get to Dallas. Now God says, you're going to use me every single day of the 7 weeks. We booked for 8 weeks, so because we can just stay there later. So if they want to see me, then I'm there. Because I don't want to, we wanted to take our RV there to Dallas, but the RV parks are so bad there and so expensive. So there was a motel right opposite the cancer center. It's like, takes me 45 seconds to walk there. That's how close it is. So we just had to pay for the motel for 2 months, which was a Motel 6. It wasn't the best motel, but at least it was the cheapest. And we could stay there. It was a nice room. So now I'm so excited. So we're there. We booked in. And the first day of the chemo comes. I was a bit weary because I didn't know what it was going to feel like, what's the radiation going to feel like, what's the chemo going to feel like. But I knew what my assignment was. So I walked down there, walked into the chemo place, 8 o'clock in the morning, sat down there for 5 hours, put chemo in me. When I was finished, I went home, didn't minister to anybody. They told me, listen, now that you've done the chemo, when you go home, it'll take about an hour or two, then you're going to feel so fatigued that you were going to have to lie down and rest. I said, okay, if that's what you say. So I got to the motel 2-3 hours later. My wife said, how are you feeling? I said, I'm going to walk. I'm going to exercise. So I went walking 3 miles. And I did that for the whole 7 weeks. And they told me that I would be so fatigued, I would be so tired, that I would have to stop everything. I would just go home and just lie on the bed. I spoke to the cancer people there. I told them, what do you do when you get home? No, I go lie down immediately because I'm so tired, I'm so fatigued. I never lie down. I never got fatigued. I put my earphones on and listened to my music and walk my 3 miles every single day, every second day, if it wasn't raining. The people said to me, those nurses said, we saw you walking. That was you walking, am I right? I said, yeah, I walk around the whole building for 6 times. That's 3 miles. They said, how can you do that? I said, because of God. So I went back and I said to Yahweh, Lord, this is not right. The first day you said you're going to send people, or I'm going to minister to people. There was nobody that I ministered today. Did I miss you or something? He said, no. I told you that I will send them to you. Don't you go look for them. And then he gave me these instructions. If I walk out of the front door of my motel, about just as far from here to across the street, there where the laundromat is, that's how far the cancer center was for me. Here was a heart hospital. There was a general hospital, just the street in between us, and there was the cancer hospital. And Yahweh said to me, from tomorrow, when you walk out of that motel, you will put your hand out and you will pray for all the heart people and for all the heart doctors. When you get there, you will pray for all the people that are sick, lungs, kidneys, diabetes, and all the general doctors. And when you get to the cancer hospital, you will start praying for the cancer people and radiation people in general. And then when you get inside, you will go and sit down, and I will send them to you. The second day I went and sat down, there was a lot of seats open because it was 8 o'clock in the morning, so you could sit anywhere you wanted to sit. I went and sat down, and it wasn't 2 minutes. Somebody came and sat right next to me, which had the whole other place open. And it was a lady, and she sat down. She said, good morning. I said, good morning. She said, how are you doing, ma'am? She said, I'm doing good. I said, what are you here for? Breast cancer. Okay, how's it going? Well, not too good. Very difficult. I don't know if they can find it. What are you for? I said, throat cancer, tongue cancer. She said, oh, okay, how's it going? I said, well, I'm going to be healed. She said, how do you know that? I said, because I'm a minister and I'm trusting God. Can I pray for you that God will heal your breast cancer? Everybody that I told that said yes. Please, because God sent every single, I prayed for prostate cancer, colon cancer, bone cancer, you name it, breast cancer, all cancers that you could think of. I had the opportunity. God sent them, Pastor, every single day, sometimes 3 a day. And he sent them at times when they didn't call me in, where they should have called me in. And the people just opened up, and everybody cried afterwards. I don't know if they got healed. I know one guy that Mr. Joe, he was my age, he had lung cancer. One day when I walked in, it was packed. It was about 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then they packed. There was one seat open next to Mr. Joe. So I looked around. There's no seats open. I said, sir, can I sit here? He said, yeah, sure. I sat down. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing okay. I said, what are you here for? He said, lung cancer. How's it going? He said, not good. They don't think I'm going to make it. I said, oh, okay. I said, can I pray for you? He said, you know, I wondered when you were going to come and pray for me. I said, why? He said, no, I see you every day because I started the day that you started. And I see you every day praying for other people. I wonder when you're going to pray for me. Yep. I said, well, I had no other seat to sit down, so let me pray for you. And his wife was with, and every day after that, when I saw him, I prayed with him every day. And I called him about a month ago. I said, how's your PET scan doing? He said, yeah, I'm clean. I'm cancer free. Now, the others, I don't know. I prayed. Listen, God didn't want me in Tyler with the other oncologist. He wanted me in Dallas with these oncologists because they were specific people that he wanted to send to me. I don't know how many of them were not saved. I asked some of them and they said they were. Some of them said nothing. They didn't know what I was talking about. But I just prayed anything, any case, and then they'd call me. So I didn't really have a lot of time to minister all over the place. Sometimes I would just minister for salvation, sometimes just for the sickness. But God sent those people specifically. And then I realized that's why that guy turned around and gave me such a bad report that I had to say, no, I'm not going to go. I don't want to be there. He sent me to the right place. Guys, every day, in those 7 weeks, there wasn't one day that I said to myself, oh, man, do I have to go for this treatment again? Yeah. I was looking forward to going there because I was trying to think who God was going to send. And I realized I wasn't focused on the treatment, on the chemo and the radiation. I was focusing on what Yeshua was going to do and healing people and setting them free. That's where my mind was. What could I do for my God? And that day when Yahweh said, will you do, I'm asking you to do it, I realized, hey, I want to please my God. I want to be obedient. And he gave me the scripture, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. He said, Hansi, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And I was obedient in those 7 weeks, and I was willing to do it. Will I do it again? I don't know. Because I'm not Superman. It was hard, you know. I mean, my throat, when I swallowed, sometimes it felt like strep throat, and then it'll go away. I didn't lose one tooth. They checked me every week in my mouth for sores, and they said, and this is how they do it. After the first week, they tell you. Now, week two, this is going to happen to you. You're going to start losing your taste buds. You're going to start losing this. And the week three, they say, all right, now you're going to get so sick. You're going to start vomiting. You're going to have fatigue. You're going to have sores in your mouth. And every time they said that to me, I said, no, sir. It's not going to happen. Then the doctor would say, well, if that doesn't happen, then you'll be the first one that it doesn't happen to you. I said, well, I don't care. It's not going to happen. And it didn't happen because my God told me, you see, I had to keep my eyes on Yahweh. I had to look to Yahweh. I had to wait for the God of my salvation. I'm getting back to the scripture. I had to wait for God to take me through the process. And he already healed me that day in the truck. I know he healed me. But I had to go through that whole situation. I was halfway through the treatment one day and I came in. And I was just, I don't know why you said this. She was lying on the bed, Jeanette. And I walked in, she said to me, do you know what? I said, what? She said, you are healed. I said, I know I'm healed. Why are you saying that? She said, you just look healed. You look like you're shining. That other guy told me, that guy that Uncle Joe, I call him Uncle Joe, but he's just as old as me. But he looks like Uncle Joe, yeah. He looks like he's 80 years old, but he was very sick. Very, very, very sick. He said to me, every time when I come in here, me and my wife, and you come in, there's a shining light around you. I said, oh, thank you. I just give God praise. I just give God praise. Listen, God used me there. God can use you anywhere where you go. Don't you go and sit on a heap and say, well, I got this sickness. Oh, I got back pain. Oh, my marriage is down the drain. Whatever you're going through, stand up and in your trial. Hey, what does the word say? God comforts us so that we could comfort other people when we go through the same thing. God doesn't comfort you and I to become comfortable. God comforts us so we could become comforters. Can I say that again? God doesn't comfort you and I, the Holy Spirit, what you're going through, so you can become comfortable. He comforts you so you could get up and say, hey, I've been through this. I can now comfort you. Rise up, and we might just see far more people getting healed and set free and stops. Hey, I realize this. When Yeshua died on that cross, he took all our sicknesses on his back. Stop saying, my cancer, my diabetes, it's not yours anymore. It doesn't belong to you. Yeshua's already taken it. The last day, man, I was watching TV. The chemo doctor was an Indian. This guy, they tell me before the time, first day, what's your religious preferences? I said, why? No, because Dr. Kavur, the Indian doctor, is a born-again Christian. He's going to pray with you. We just want to know that. So if you don't want to, just say no. I said, no. I want prayer. This guy does not come in and say, oh, Father, or the man above, you know, and if it is your will. And this guy walks in, he takes my hands, he says, in the mighty name of Yeshua, almighty Holy Spirit, give me wisdom to treat this man, that I would give him the right chemo, that when he walks out here, he's perfectly. This guy prays to me like a Pentecostal. I'm sitting there thinking, man, you could be a preacher. And every week he prays with me. And one week I came and he said, I don't feel so good today. Would you pray for me? I said, hallelujah, let me pray for you. So I just swapped it right around there. Listen, guys, and I'm not being boastful. I'm boasting in Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah this morning. He gave me so much power. He gave me every day. I will not forget. This is the scripture that I used. I will not lose my taste buds. I will not lose my strength through Christ Jesus that gives me strength. I can do all things through Yeshua HaMashiach that gives me strength. I kept on saying it. Listen, I still had to apply my faith. Even though Yahweh said, I will heal you, I still had to apply my faith and go through it and fight it. Because there's sometimes that I thought, man, could I just get through this thing? And then I think, but I never focused. Because the radiation took 5 minutes. They put me in a mask and they zap you back. And then your whole, from here, they put a mask around you. And you tie down to a table. You can't move your head. Because every day they do it exactly the same spots. Same spot. Same spot. It's 5 minutes. Zzz, 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 thank you, sir. Go. The chemo takes the longest. They put it in your arm or in the chemo port and you sit there for 5 hours. Well, that's what I had really time to minister. Because you kind of walk around. It depends on who sits next to you and who sits next to you. So I said, Lord, just send them. And he sent them every day for 5 hours. They couldn't move. I'm telling you this. You guys think, hey, are you seeing what I'm sounding like, what I'm looking at? The whole 7 weeks of my treatment, I looked like this. I spoke like this. I acted like I'm acting now. There was nothing different. This doctor says to me after 8 weeks, he says to me, or 9 weeks, he said, the 8th and the 9 weeks are the most serious complications. I said, why? He said, because then the whole 7 weeks of chemo and radiation accumulates. And the 2 weeks after that, you will be flat. And I'm standing there. I said, well, I'm not feeling flat. He says, I know. When I look in your throat, I see no sores, no redness, no nothing. I said, if I take you outside now and tell the people, hey, you see this guy? He's been through a whole 7 weeks of the worst treatment that you can get. Look at him. They will say, no, you're joking. He hasn't had treatment. He says, it doesn't look like you've had treatment. So you've proved me wrong, Mr. Stain. I said, no, sir, I did not prove you wrong. God showed you what he can do. When I went back after 10 weeks, he said to me, I don't hope you mind, but I'm using your testimony. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm telling all the new people that are coming in, when I give them, because they have to give you the side effects. They have to say, well, you can lose your voice. You can lose your ears. You can do this. He says, then I tell them, but there's a man who's a minister that believes, that was praying, that was trusting God, and he did not go through all these things. So if he doesn't have to go through it, and you can believe, then you don't have to go through it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm not even there, and Yahweh is using the testimony. So that just shows me, it's got absolutely, Hansi, what did you learn out of this whole thing? Number one, if you're obedient and do what God tells you to, God is not a liar. He will give you what he said. Will God speak to you? Does he have to speak to you like he spoke to me to shake me? No, I think he had to do that to me. But you can just open the word and God can speak to you and tell you what to do. Ask you what to do, tell you what to do, command you what to do, whatever. I learned obedience is better than a sacrifice, and I know that, and I've preached that many times, but I really, really, really realized if you listen to God and do what he says, he will come through for you. And then secondly, I've learned that you never look at the problem, you always look at the answer, and God will come through. And thirdly, what I've learned is this, it's not only just cancer, and there's some of you that have cancer here, and there's some of you that have had worse sicknesses. I'm not trying to say cancer is the worst thing. I'm just saying this is what I went through. And if God can get me through cancer that can kill you, God can get you through anything because nothing is impossible for him. Can you just believe? Can you just go and sit down and get your mind right and ask Yeshua, ask Yahweh, ask, say, what do you want me to do? And let him use you in spite of what you are going through. Look at Job. Come on, come on. We have examples. All examples. I'm just a living testimony, and some of you sitting here that have had cancer that's healed, I hope you are testifying. I hope you're telling people about it. Because one thing that I've learned, like somebody gave me a little book of Jody Osteen, Joel Osteen's mother. She had liver cancer 35 years ago when her husband still lived, John Osteen. And he was on fire preacher, you know, he was still the good old Pentecostal. She had liver cancer. They sent her home to die. There was no treatment for the liver cancer. And her husband, or Joel Osteen, just every night put his hand on her liver and said, you are healed by the stripes. It took her almost 2 years through all the pain, and she tells all the pain and all the hassle she went through. That little book that I read lifted me up so much that I thought, God, can I do the same thing? And he said, yes. So I wrote down everything that happened to me. I've just told you 50% of what happened to me. And I went and wrote it down, and I printed it in a book. I'm getting the book in two weeks, 10 days time, of the whole testimony and something else that God showed me about healing, what happens with how we can figure out healing and get our healing and not lose our healing. And I wrote it in a book, so it'll be ready when I get there next year. Maybe you can take the mustard seed faith and that book and just try. It's not what I've written. I've taken everything out of the Word of God again. And so, that little book helped me. That Dr. Kavu and those doctors, do you know that every morning the doctors and all the nurses in that cancer treatment have a prayer meeting before they start. Every single day. That's how my God sent me to that place. And when I left there, was I glad to leave? Oh, yeah. I didn't want to go through it again. But I don't think God will have to strike it a second time. It's finished. Don't let Satan lie to you, okay? You are the heel of the Lord. You're special. And I want to pray for some people this morning. If you don't mind, I know I took a little bit of time now, but I just had to get it out. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you that you helped me. I hope this helps somebody. All right? And it doesn't matter what you're going through, God can do it. He can change you. Yeshua died for everybody, for everything on that cross. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If it's just a back pain, he can heal it. If it's dementia, he can heal it. Now, all right, some people are going to say, why did Yahweh heal you but not other people? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know why. I don't know what their faith level is. I don't know if it's their time to go. I don't know if they give up. I don't know what it is. I wish I could answer you that, but I cannot. And I don't think anybody that tries to answer, the only good answer we can have is God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. But don't go why. Don't go why. I'd rather fight right until the last breath that I blow out. And I was ready to go. If I had to go, I was ready. I wouldn't be here today. Maybe my wife would have another big hunk next to her. I don't know. I'll just come down and I'll just give him all. I'll give him a hard time, boy. Well, I don't have to give him a hard time. She'll give him a hard time any case, I mean. Give the Lord a big clap this morning. Will you do that? If there is anybody this morning that needs prayer, I want to pray for you. Put your hands up this morning with me. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Almighty Elohim, Yeshua. We thank you that I could share my testimony this morning. And thank you, Father, that you get all the glory. You get all the honor. I don't hope I've sounded prideful or arrogant, but I just had to tell the people how good you are, Father. Thank you that they prayed for me, that they could see that you hear our prayer. Because Yeshua, you said when Lazarus was dead, you said, thank you, Father, that you hear my prayer. Thank you that you always hear my prayer. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're going to look at you. We're going to wait for the God of our salvation. Because we know that Elohim hears our prayers. It's a done deal. You hear it and you answer it. So Yahweh, this morning, if there's people that need healing, I'm going to ask you to show up and touch them in the mighty name of Yeshua. I'm trusting you. And you promised me that you were going to anoint me and you were going to use me. And you've already done that in the previous two services in other churches where people got healed. And I give you praise. And I'm standing on your promises that you will touch and heal people. So while we're praying right now, I'm just trusting Yahweh just to with his presence to come, the Holy Spirit presence to come and touch you. If you have a need, come out quickly and come stand here so we can pray with you. Come out quickly. If there's anybody that has a need for healing this morning, or for anything that you have a need for, come quickly. Now while they're coming out, come and stand in front of you. While they're coming out, let me just tell you this quickly. Hansi, did you have absolutely no side effects? Well, no, I did. My saliva glands did go away about 50%, and it's still not what it should be, but they say 6 months to 8 months and it'll be back. My taste buds did go away. I stopped eating. I couldn't eat anymore, but I could still swallow, so that I had to drink some very powerful, potent stuff. I had to drink it because I couldn't, protein, because I couldn't, everything I put in my mouth, I wanted to vomit. Meat, chicken, fajitas, everything that I love, would just tasted like sand. Well, yesterday I ate for the first time some egg bites and that tasted not too bad. So I could feel it's coming back. And you say, but why did God do that? Because I had to find out what you guys feel like when you go through that kind of thing. So I could say, somebody asked me, did your taste buds go away? I could say, yeah, but they came back. It's going to come back, all right? So it's not just like he took everything away because I'm special. I went through some stuff, yep. And I had a lot of phlegm and stuff, but that's okay. So we're just working through these little last one or two little stuff that he's giving us. At least I'm not a redneck. And that guy told me, he said to me, the permanent thing, listen, the people that started off with me, just come out and stay. I'm just waiting for more people. Yeah. That redneck thing, listen to me. There were people that started off with me the same day. By the fifth, sixth week, it looked like somebody took a paintbrush and did this. Perfect line all the way down their whole neck, even up to their cheek here, red like that. And they said, well, that will go away. I said, will that be permanent? They said, yep. It'll just go darker and become more like a suntan, but it'll be there forever. I didn't have it. Jeremiah, I didn't have it. God was so good. But I had to apply my faith. You've got to believe. Are you with me here? Some of them couldn't. They were like this. Their jaws couldn't open. They couldn't open their jaw. Their jaws had closed because their teeth had fallen out. And they couldn't swallow because they had so many sores in their mouth that they couldn't open their mouth. They were sucking water and stuff through their feeding tube. They had to suck it and then stop it. Listen, when God tells you that he's going to... But Hansi, does God have to tell me that he's healed me? Yes, he's already told you. You are healed. You were healed by my stripes. The word of God is already there. He's already promised you that. Go take that promise. I had to do it. I had to fight the same fight with that mustard seed faith that you are fighting with. But it works. Who's going to help you pray?